Good morning. Today is December the 23rd. As indicated on your opening cover page, indeed it is a season when we are inundated with a whole variety of manifestations of the fact that the Christian world, which comprises the vast majority of the population in the United States of America, is celebrating its major religious festival in 2 days. And the question is, how do we respond to such festivals? That is our topic for today. Indeed, the Shulchan Aruch addresses these questions quite explicitly, but there's plenty of room for question and discussion. Let us first turn our attention to source number 3, which is Yoredeya Kuf Mem Ches, Sif Hei. Asur l'shloach doron na'oved kachavim b'yom chagam. One may not send a present to a idol worshiper on the day of his holiday. That means this coming Tuesday. That is a holiday for the Christians. And one may not send a holiday gift to a Christian on that day. Elohim kein noda sheino moda b'avodas kachavim ve'eino ovdom. Unless it is known that this individual is not really a member of this religion, doesn't really believe in this worship. Fine. And similarly, amazingly, v'chein oved kachavim sheshalach b'yom chago doron liYisrael lo yikablu mimen. If you get a gift on Tuesday from a non-Jewish person, a Christian, don't take it, because it indicates some kind of acceptance of the theme behind it. What are you going to do if you're stuck? Imchoshesh le'eva, if you're afraid of hatred, which will result if you turn them down flat. Mikablo, you receive it. V'yizrikenu b'fanav leboro le'mokum ha'oved kalachayad. You sort of let it drop into the pit. Well, you know, this is... Yeah. I'm sorry. Well, I don't know if that's going to add Ava or subtract Ava, so we won't go into the details. Most of us are not going to be on the receiving end of any gifts on Tuesday. Am I correct? Oh, it's a good question. Are Christians considered pagans? That's a great question. I was going to postpone that till later, but I like when people ask questions. It takes me in a different direction than I expect. But I'm prepared for your question. That's source number one. Source number one, we're going to only read, because we have lack of time, the last 2.5 lines. Od Pirish Rabbeinu Tam, Pei Reish Tav. Bizman Hazeh, nowadays, Kulam Nishboim V'Kedoshim. All of the Christians, Rabbeinu Tam, remember, lived in the 12th century in France, a very Christian country. All swear by their saints, their kedoshim. V'ein tovsim behem alokus. They don't believe these saints are godly, are divine. V'af al pishe maskirim imoyim shem shemayim. V'kavados l'madavaracha. They mention God's name in some of their oaths. Mikol makom ein zeh shem avodas kochavim. It's not really idol worship. Kidatam l'shem osei shemayim v'oretz. How do you like that? When the Christians mention God, they mean the God, our God, who created heaven and earth. Here's a key line. The last line is so critical. Again, the last line of source one is one of the most important lines. They are believing in the God that we believe in, plus an additional divinity, the Christian divinity. They believe in a combination, a duality, or if you really study it carefully, they believe in a... Yeah, that's right. Trinity, you know that, the Father, come on, you know a little bit about that? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We have a little bit, we have to know what's going on in the world, right? That's what they believe in, a divinity or in a Trinity. Nonetheless, catch this now. Ein kan lifna iva lo sita in michshol. I'm not tripping him up when I cause him to swear by the name of his religion, his divinity. Why? D'b'nei Noach lo huzuru al kach. Because b'nei Noach, Noachides, are not prohibited al kach. The key word here is kach. I would only wish you would explain what kach means. Kach means this, that. Doesn't tell you what it means. Well, didan, and for us, lo ashkechan isu, we don't find the prohibition, begram shitu, for causing someone else to be involved in what we call shituf, a combination of God and some other idol. What does this mean? Does it mean that a Christian, that a non-Jew may be a Christian? That's one read, one plausible read of Tosfos. A non-Jew may be a Christian because he's believing in God and an additional deity, as opposed to believing exclusively in a pagan deity. That's one read. It would appear that the Rama reads this way. It would appear. Let's read source number two. This is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, don't become a partner with a non-Jew, because when he's going to come to an oath, he's going to swear by his deity's name. V'yesh mekilim ba'asiyas shutfus emakusim bizman hazeh. You can have a non-Jewish partner. Shem she'ein akusim bizman hazeh nishbon be'avodas alilim. They don't swear by pagan gods. The Afal Gavda Maskiran Avodah Zara, when they swear by the name of their savior, quote unquote, Mikomakom Kavanasim, when they mention God's name, La'ose Shemayim V'aretz, they believe also in the same God we believe in. Elishem Shatvim is Shem Shemayim V'Davar Acher, and they add another deity. V'lo Matzinu Shiesh V'Zemeshim Lifnei V'Lositen Mikshal, it's not a prohibition. The Harei Eina Musharin Al Hashituf. They are not prohibited to do what we call in our language shituf, combining God with another deity. The Rama seems to have understood the Tosfos to say that a non-Jew may be a Christian. The non-Jew has seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. One of them is he may not be an Ovad Avodah Zarah. According to the Rama's read of Tosfos, he may be a Christian because Christianity believes in the God, our God, who created heaven and earth. And although they add a different God, it's of no consequence. That's how the Rama read Tosfos. Many of the giants of halacha came down very hard on the Rama. You misread the Tosfos, they said. You read it wrong. When Tosfos said in the last line on source one, and it said, B'nei Noach lehuzeru al kach, it didn't mean that non-Jews may be Christians. No, that's not what it means. It means non-Jews are prohibited from serving deities other than God, and even if they combine the real God with another deity, what they're not prohibited to do is to swear by the name of that God. You know, the ultimate prohibition in the Torah is don't bow down to an idol. Don't serve an idol any way which is commonly served. Swearing is a different thing completely. It's not part of the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. Many great giants say that. That's the simple understanding of Tosfos. That's what they were not commanded to do, prohibited to do. To swear. So if they swear because we tell you better swear, we don't believe you, so they didn't do anything wrong by swearing. But if they went to the church and bowed down to that same deity, that would be a violation of their seven mitzvahs. There's a major dispute between the Rama and many others about your question. So it's an excellent question. We're going to talk about it a little bit later, and I'm glad we spoke about it now. Bottom line is, we cannot resolve this issue. Too great, the people are too great on each side. Whether in fact a Christian is in violation of one of the seven mitzvahs when he practices Christianity. One thing's for sure, almost for sure. If a Jew practices Christianity, that's terrible. That's Avodah Zarah, because of this deity. There were certain early commentators who seemed to indicate that perhaps it's not actual Avodah Zarah. Hard to figure out what they're saying. Some claim they only said it for the benefit of the censor. We will see how censorship crept in even to our sources for today in a moment. A lot of things were written for the censors that were very tough in those days. So, the Rambam certainly said, the Rambam wasn't afraid of it, the Rambam, our Rambam, which was also censored, our Rambam says clearly, we have to look at the new editions, that Christianity is Avodah Zarah. If a Jewish person, Chalila, bows down to the church and to Christian God, he is in violation of Avodah Zarah, the most serious commandment in the Torah. Others who disagree are probably just writing for the censors. That's my conclusion for Jews. For non-Jews, I cannot give a conclusion. Yes. Whoa, slow. Okay, patience. You're back to the season. Okay, let's go. With this introduction, let's go back to the season. So the season is in source three. Let's take a look at Sifches. Ein yom hachag osur elala ovdin bo bilvad. For those who believe in that religion, They're happy that day. And they eat and drink. Also, that's the custom in that country. Because the king wishes it. They don't believe in the religion. There are prohibitions against doing business which do not apply to individuals who don't really believe in Christianity. I have to tell you something. We live in the United States of America. Do you believe that the United States of America, in comparison to Europe, for example, is an incredibly religious country? The statistics have shown that the number of Christians in America who still believe in that religion is staggeringly high, as opposed to Europe, which has become, the original hotbed of Christianity has become primarily atheistic. For them, it's a folk religion. And for them, if you're in Europe, you could probably do business with them and maybe get involved in the gifts. In America, they still believe it. They may not practice their religion. Unfortunately, there are Jews who don't practice their religion. But they believe fundamentally in Christianity. There's much been written about it, how America is a much more religious society than Europe, which is, by the way, a good thing. A, they're helping out Eretz Yisrael, the Southern Baptists, you know, whatever you'll say about them, they're being very helpful to us. And B, religion is a good thing. There's a story told about the Berditcheva. The Berditcheva had a wagon driver, Balagola, always a Christian. If the Christian would not cross himself when he passed in front of the church, the Berditcheva would jump out of the wagon. He said, he's not a responsible Christian. He can drive me into a ditch. Because in those days, Christianity was considered to be, you know, that was their religion. So a religious society is fundamentally good. I'm not discussing religions that preach actively to kill others. Yes, Christianity preached that actively for many, many years, centuries. We haven't forgotten it. We'll see that in the sources as well. Islam preaches it now, but it's not a political speech. I'm going back to the Shulchan Aruch. Let us continue in these halachas. Sif Tes, very, very important. You can't look into a Christian's house and say, hey, you know, we'll discuss the specifics later, what the shalom means on that kind of a day. It literally means shalom, hello. Matzah b'chutz, you see him in the street, you're allowed to say hello, even though it's December 25th. Hello, you don't have to make a big, hey, how you doing? You know, that's for other days, but not on this coming Tuesday. Now, look at this now. Sif Yud Bey is the final sif in this very important siman. Yesh omrim, some say. She'ein kol ha'dvarim elu amurim elu ba'oso zman. Aval b'zman hazeh einem ovdei avodos kachovim. They don't really believe in it nowadays. It's a folk religion. Lefichach mutter loses v'loses imoam b'yom chagam v'lalvosam v'chol sha'dvarim. You could even give certain other monies, etc. They don't believe in it. And what else? Isbazemishim Eva in the third line. Im nifosh atzmeinam ehem b'yom chagam. If we'll separate ourselves completely from them on December 25th, they'll hate us. So she'll let them hate us. No. V'anu shruyim b'neiyam. We live amongst them. Utzrichim losas v'losim o'am kol ha'shanam. We have to do business with them all year long. So you can't alienate them. For the chain, amazing Ramah. I mean, if I said it today, you'd say, this is crazy. Im nichnas le'iru mitzom smechem b'yom chagam. You walk into a town on December 25th, they're all freilach, right? Yismach imohem mishum eva. Mind-boggling. You can be happy with them because not to avoid hatred. Tahavi kemach niflahem. You're playing with them. You don't really mean it. Umikomagom bal nefesh yarchik v'lesmoach imon miyuchal asas shelo yeh eva b'david. Try your best to avoid this kind of circumstance. So too when it comes to gifts. I'm sure there are many people in this room, maybe even most, who have no choice but to send some kind of a holiday gift to a non-Jewish, who knows what, co-worker, employee, whatever it is, and in your apartment house there's some of the superintendent. We all have these kind of things. So what do? He gives you an etza. V'cheinim sholeach doron la'ovik achovim b'zman hazeh b'yom echad sheyesh lem simen im yagilem doron b'chagahu im evshalo yishlach lo miba erev. Send it early. We try to send the gifts on Chanukah. So this will be, in our minds, it's a Chanukah gift. Now, we know that these people are not really celebrating Chanukah, but in our minds, it's a Chanukah gift.
V'yim lo, if you're stuck, yishtach lo b'chagat, only if you're stuck. So the Ramah is much more lenient nowadays. They don't really believe it. It's a folk religion, etc. Says the Shach, source 4. When we call him Gomashadiska b'siftes, it's prohibited even today. To actually go into the house is prohibited even nowadays. Now, let's discuss specifics of what can and what cannot be done. It seems to me that the idea of happy holiday should be avoided. Should avoid if you can. Merry Christmas is much worse. Much, 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 much worse. First of all, we'll discuss soon, according to some, I just did a violation. I mentioned the word Christmas. Because according to some, you're not even allowed to mention the word. Okay, that's number one. Number two, obviously you're mentioning their holiday specifically. Happy holiday, I don't know, it could be Hanukkah, it could be anything, you know, whatever it may be. I believe, though, it's much more lenient to say Happy New Year than anything else. And I'll tell you why. What do you mean by Happy New Year? Happy New or Happy Year? Are you saying, listen to me, it's like I teach my boys in the yeshiva. What is it Happy New Year, which is a reference to the holiday? Or is it a Happy New Year? Have a good year. But, you know, the year's starting, so, you know, how do you read it? How do you understand it? It's ambiguous, right? So we have to have in mind Happy Year. The year is starting now. That's how I think we should have in mind. And speaking of this idea of New Year and the holiday which precedes it by 1 week, I want to show you a classical example of censorship. I'd like you to take out your pen, whoever's a pen, and the paper in front of you, and add what was censored. I had no idea. I asked them the office to copy these sources. They copied. I said, wait a minute, there's something missing here. So I looked it up in my edition. I have the new edition. It's there. In the old edition that's on the Bar Ilan, it obviously was censored out. So I'm going to take a pen in your hand and I'll tell you where to add. Source number five. I'm going to skip a little bit and start on line 3. Middle of the line. The Af Bizman Hazeh. Im rotza l'shloach lo biyom edom, you want to send them something on the day of the holiday, so again, yishlach lo mi ba'od yom, as I said before, do it the day before. Yib'erev, v'lo biyom ha'ed atzmo. Don't do it on that very day. Again, if there's no alternative, it's different. The word edom is inserted, it doesn't belong there. Let me read you the original, those who have a pen can add it in. It's a total of 6 words. Okay? Biyom, Shmini, Shin Mem Yud Nun Yud, 8. She'acha, Shin Aleph Ches Resh, after. Nittel, Nun Yud Tov Lamed. You ever hear of Nittel Nacht? Okay, Nittel or Natal, you know what, as in prenatal vitamins, you know, it means birth, we know what that means. She'korin, Shin Kuf Vav Resh Yud Nun. And the next two words are not Hebrew, and that's why they have little lines. Naya, Nun Yud Yud Aleph, Yor Yud Aleph Reish. So it's clear what it said in the original. It was the 8th day after Nittel, which is called New Year's. We know exactly what that means, and we know very well that it has Christological implications because it's the 8th day, which is the day of the Chris. That's exactly what it is. But it was censored out of your edition. That's why I asked you to write it down. You look it up in the new edition, you'll find it there. This is the true edition which the censor took out. Remarkable. That's another good question. If our censor took it out, in all likelihood, but he was probably taking it out because he was afraid of their censor. Sometimes their censor took it out. Either way, we have to restore the original text. This is clearly the original text. Who is Akim? Dark emotion by the Ramah. The famous Ramah who wrote the Ashkenazi Shulchan Aruch is the one who wrote this. Now, it's interesting, if we could take a step back and analyze non-Jewish holidays in general, the recent authorities say there were 3 different kinds
of non-Jewish holidays. Three. One is called a Christian holiday, which is absolutely prohibited. Two is a holiday which has absolutely nothing to do with Christianity. Zero. Zero. What are they? Excuse me. Independence Day? Please. Independence Day, Memorial Day, and Labor Day. Those have nothing to do with anything religious. Christmas is completely religious. What's in between? A few other... everyone's screaming out. In between these two is a holiday which was founded because of Christianity, but became a more, how should we say, a general popular holiday. There, the halacha is, if it still has a Christian motif, it's not allowed, and otherwise there's more room to be lenient. That's called Thanksgiving. It's remarkable that Rav Moshe, Zichrono Livracha, in the very last source, source number 10 and number 9, equates the two. He doesn't like making weddings on non-Jewish holidays. My father, Zichrono Livracha, told me a story that there was a great rabbi on the Lower East Side who forbade making weddings on Sundays because Sundays were a Christian holiday. And his own brother-in-law made a wedding on Sunday and he didn't attend. It was the whole town was tumbling. They took their religion seriously in those days. But look at the last line in source number 9. V'yom rishon mishana shalahem, New Year's. V'chein Thanksgiving. Ein lesser medina av balei nefesh yesh laham lahach. He equates New Year's with Thanksgiving. I don't know if they're really the same. Because New Year's to me still has a much more Christian motif today than Thanksgiving. Although they both started with Christian ideas. But that's Rav Moshe's equation, which some others disagree with. Okay, so I want to show you what is said. As a matter of fact, Rav Moshe's Talmud, Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, lives in Memphis, makes this distinction. And he has another remarkable distinction. He suggests that perhaps Thanksgiving would be permissible in the North and prohibited in the South. Apparently in the South, it's a much more Christian holiday to this day. Southern. We live in New York, it's just football. But, okay. That's as far as holidays are concerned. Let's now talk about something extraordinarily important. May one go into a church? This is very, very important. Because people think, oh, what's wrong going to a church? Let's read source number 7. This is from Rav Moshe. Asur likanes liknesias hanotrim. It's prohibited to walk into a church. Pashut, it's obvious. Shall ikonis the knesias anostrim shumokam shaovdin v'osim tfiloseim shaoser af the ikonis rak lahabit b'tsuros shayodim shirak l'noy nasu. You can just walk in and see the art. People like Christian art. Many people say you're not allowed to study Christian art. But even according to Tosis, who claims it may be permissible to look at some Christian art. Next page. But to go into the place where they actually serve their God is harchek me'olea darkecha zuminus. May not go there at all. You may not go. Impossible. If it's a mokom vikuach, it's a debating center, then there's possibilities. But beis alilim, if they do their prayers there, you may not go in whatsoever. Says, what about the chotzer? What about the courtyard of the church? People sometimes have to go vote in the basement of the church, right? There are other things. There's Alcoholics Anonymous is in the basement of the church very often. And that's a very important need to go for those who need it. He says, well, then there's what to talk about. But to go into the place where they actually pray is absolutely prohibited. Then he adds the last two lines. Levad ha'iser, aside from the actual strict prohibition,
Dvar hashchosahu be'emuna v'deos. She'erotzo ne'elach sham. It's against our beliefs. It's against our thinking to go there. It's very bad. And he quotes his son, who says, the whole purpose of these tours into the Christian churches, lahasas ulahadiach patekroves, they're trying to subtly proselytize. Shezer vali udover also lasted return on the scar of Lehem. Chen chas v'sholom yileluch sham. Chas v'sholom to go into a church. I know there are many of tours in Eretz Yisrael. They bring him into churches and in Europe and even in America. Just don't go in. They'll say, why not? Say, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein said, I'm not allowed to go in. That's all. That's what he said. We're going just to see the art. It's only an art tour. Doesn't matter. You may not walk into the room. Yes? That's a good question. A church in which prayers no longer take place. That's an excellent question. If there was a concept called bittul, bittul means that the church sold it, or the people there left the religion, or things of this nature. Are you familiar? I bet the people in this room who come from the community, which at the present time, pending the new building, is davening in what used to be a church. Anyone from that neighborhood here? That's right. Must be somebody from there. No one admits to it? Okay. The main shul in town, the only shul really in town, is what used to be a church. Stained glass windows, the whole story. A cemetery on the side, it's unbelievable. But with shul, who wants to say they come from there? I don't want to reveal it. Okay, no one comes in that town? Nobody? Where is it? West Orange, I didn't have that in mind at all. New Rochelle, it's famous. The youngest of New Rochelle, they're building a new building. I know. Flappish also? Against the Prospect Park used to be? Wow. Okay. That's right. On Ocean Avenue, that one? Oh, the one later. Anyway, let's leave all these things out. There are many examples. Yes? A good question. A synagogue which has turned into a church and now it's sort of vacant. A museum. So if it was made into a museum which features the synagogue artifacts, that's called bittul. But if it's a museum which is featuring the Christian artifacts, that's not called bittul, and I wouldn't go in there. Let's now turn to what we have a lot, still have many, many things to talk about. I repeat, if it was a bittul, if it was canceled out in some manner, not to be a Christian place anymore, then it would be permissible. Such as it made into a shul. But if it's just made into a museum and it's featuring and showcasing all the Christian artifacts, I don't consider that to be bittul. I would not go in there. There are many places like that in Europe and in Eretz Yisrael and even in America. Just stay away. Let me go further to what's more practical for all of us. The clearest manifestation of these holidays for those who are walking in the streets and in the stores and in the workplace is what? Lights? Music. Even more than lights. I think more than lights. Music. Everywhere. Everywhere. You can't move without hearing this music. It's so bad that that's the title. 'Tis the season to be jolly. You know, the Hasidim say that a tune is not makabel tumah. They say. So therefore I can hum to you. Because I come from Hasidic stock. But not everyone agrees to that. Not everyone agrees to that. Let's see what Rav Moshe has to say about this very, very serious question. Very serious. So let's turn to source number 8. Source number 8. Very, very important. Again from Rav Moshe. For Loraka Nigunim Shemizamrim Ata, not only what they sing now. You may not sing what used to be sung in the church, even though they no longer sing it in the church. That a non-Jewish person made a tune. In Psalms in English, or Latin, or whatever language.
Kistam aniguim shemechabim anosim lefsukei tehillim hu lo malat filoseim shezeh osur. Unless you know that the author was not a Christian, he was just making a plain tune. Even if he happened to have been a Christian, then it's okay. But stomach, typically, yesh lahavzik shul avodosam v'osur, even the parnosa, which means that there were those who composed for the church. Who is an expert here in classical music? How many of the great composers composed for the church? Almost all of them have to pay their salary. Bach, take Bach for example, is the most famous. He composed for the church. There's not even a doubt about that. No question, it's dark that he did that. So may a person hum or even listen to the tunes of Johann Sebastian Bach? Rav Moshe says, no. That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. Now, slowly, we're not finished yet. And he says further, I'm skipping because I have no time, the last few lines here. It's an Easter Gadol, the last full line. It's going to cause Chalila v'chas to lead to lack of belief, heresy. If their God's name is mentioned there, which is a prohibition of lo yisham al picha she'asra al tzarech, he can't even mention their God. So therefore, their songs are certainly a problem. Now, the tune that I just sang, whose words are found with a question mark on your cover page, to my knowledge, those are the only words of the whole tune. I don't think there's any other words in that tune. I don't know unless it's just a refrain. That's what I know. No mention of their God. No mention of anything. You know, we could say the first of Hanukkah, right? It's a season to be jolly. According to Rambam, have to be Sameach and Hanukkah. So it really is a season to be jolly. No, too kvetched. No one believes that. I must tell you of something incredible. Rav Moshe has in his tshuva tunes created by Christians. What about a tune created by a Jew? Who knows what is the most popular recording in the history of music in the United States of America, by a long shot? A White Christmas. And who knows who wrote A White Christmas? And what was Irving Berlin's religion? Jewish. They're still dreaming. You know, what can I say? I'd say it's not right to sing that song. First of all, it has the name Christmas in it, which we'll see soon is a big question. But it's not an absolutely religious tune. There's no question about it. It was just a sort of a popular tune, although it has a name. What is, I think, the most common of all the tunes that is still to this day a religious song that you hear all over the... Silent Night. That's right. Silent Night. Holy Night. That is clearly referring to Christmas night, and that I think is completely prohibited to sing that. And we just try to knock it out of our heads. You know, we've all heard it in our youth. Knock it out. You know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is not exactly a budget to niggin, but it pales in comparison to that one. That's really bad. So music is a big problem, but there are gradations. Some are more popular, some are more religious. To try to stay away from all of them. And if you're going shopping, either go shopping in Borough Park or Muncie, where you go, you're not going to hear these songs. Or maybe put things in your ears, or I don't know what. Go shopping a different time of the year. Yes. Loud. No, I'm saying these songs should not be part of our repertoire. Sing Shlomo Kalbach. Don't sing these tunes. I mean, you're humming them. Just knock them out of your head, if it's possible. You know, I know it's difficult. You're being inundated. Yes. Those lights. The lights with the trees, with all that stuff. I'll tell you a story and make a contrast. We in my shul, Young Israel of Riverdale, for many years had a Christian neighbor who lived due east of our shul, and he put up a big Christmas tree every year. One year, the little kids, kids will be kids. And one between Mincha Marav and the Shabbos, they're running around,
and they broke some of the lights in the tree. This guy came running at the shul. Oh, boy. I said, we never authorized this. We're opposed to it. We'll pay you back for it. We have to ask Mechila. Don't go breaking these lights, on the one hand. On the other hand, in my own apartment house, for many years, there was a tree in the front lobby. I would try to take my children into the building during that season the other way. I did not want them to walk through that area. Because they're going to ask me, what's with this tree? And what I really think about the tree? This tree stands for religion, which I'm not sympathetic to. And I'll explain to the reasons why in a minute. And therefore, I try very hard to avoid walking through there during that particular season. It's very important that we have a proper distance, as we shall see in detail. But before I get to that, I know my time is running short. I want to discuss the issue which we've referred to a few times about mentioning the name of the non-Jewish holidays and the non-Jewish divinities. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that if they have let's take a look at the very last source number 10, before we go back to one of the previous ones. Source number 10. Chagim Shem Chagim Shalahem Shem Kishemos B'nei Adam Ein Chashash La'azkira. If there's a holiday which has the name of a person, V'hu Shalai Yikroim K'mo Shemazkirim Osam Ovi Kachavim B'loshon Chashivas. So you mention it in a way which is not important. Now, do we have any days, holidays in America today like St. Patrick's Day, right? That's a classical example. St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick. So they say, it'd be better to say Patrick's Day. You know, there are Hasidim who live in a place called St. Paul, and they call it S-Paul. Because they don't want to we know what the word saint is. A saint is a very holy person. Was Paul so holy? I mean, you know. So it's a problem. People come from St. Louis. I know some people come from there. Or from San Francisco or San Diego. Or how about the block right down to our left? What's that called? Nicholas Avenue, right? Right? So this is a pervasive problem. A pervasive problem. In Europe, they would change it a little bit. For example, that's right. The biggest Hasidus in America is Satmar, which is, of course, for those who think it for a minute, Saint Mary. But they called it Satmar. They just, change it a little bit. But they're not going to give it any chashivas. So that's what we should try to do whenever possible. Whenever possible. Now, here's the question. What'll happen if they make it into something important? So the Vilna Gaon says that the name Jesus, Yeshu, is found in the Gemara. There's nothing wrong with saying Jesus. It says the Aruch HaShulchan, incorrect. He argues with the Vilna Gaon. That's not so simple. He says it's in the Gemara only what he calls Lahavin Ulahoros. The Meiri tells us, I said the word Christmas to you 5 times already in the context of teaching you. I may conclude it's not allowed. But I'm in the context of teaching, so when Jesus is mentioned in the Talmud Yeshu, it's only to teach us. But he thinks otherwise we should not mention that name at all. So it's a dispute between the Aruch HaShulchan on the one hand and the Vilna Gaon on the other hand. And the Vilna Gaon said it's permissible, even though they made Jesus into a divinity. He was born with the name Jesus. He was a plain Jew like everybody else. Yeshu was a Jewish name. Nebuch, later they made him into a god after he died, I think. So the name is still permissible according to him. However, what about the name Christ? What does that mean? What does it mean? Mashiach, right? I think so. Am I correct? Our Savior or Messiah, things of this nature. That would be absolutely prohibited. That is a divine or quasi-divine name. And if Christ is not allowed, then Christmas is not allowed. Because after all, it is mentioning that name. Rav Scheinberg Shalita is quoted as saying, well, Christmas is not his name. It's only the name of the holiday. I don't really understand that, I must tell you. I don't understand what he's saying. But there's a dispute about this very point, whether an individual may or may not mention this name. What does MAS mean? Also related to Avodah Zarah, as some suggest. And Rav Scheinberg responded to this questioner, no, all it means is Mashiach, doesn't say who. But if everyone agrees, what may you not say? For sure not. but the goyim also all the time. And I'm saying only to teach you, Jesus Christ. That you may not say for sure, because they are mentioning his name with his title. Yeah, I've heard Jews say it. Who in this room has ever heard a Jew say that, those two words together? Rachmanu Litzlan. Because that they take it from the neighbors. I only said it once. It pained me to say it, but I had to teach you. Don't say it. Jesus, you should also try to avoid. Aruch HaShulchan says it. Christ, you should also avoid, because it seems to be even more worse. We found that the Gra says Jesus is okay, and Rav Scheinberg says Christ is okay, but together, for sure, not allowed. For sure not. Yes. Talk a little bit louder, please. Shehem ishtachel lehebel varik. That's what I mean. They say Yeshua explicitly? Really? That's surprising. Really? Wow. There were those who claimed that Hevel and Rik is in a gematria which starts to Yeshua. Oh, they wanted, that's why it's taken out of many of our Siddurim. Artwell has it in parentheses. Before that, you couldn't find it almost in any Siddur. I say it. But if you don't want to say it, we have to, that's because they were afraid of the Goyim, presumably. But you certainly cannot say, to paraphrase the Chazal, one second, Kama no ilon zeh. How beautiful is this tree? Which may be beautiful. The rocket full of scent, you hear the radio, they're beautiful. Don't say how beautiful it is, because you're praising a Christian artifact, which you may not do. You may not do. Especially today, when assimilation is so rampant. You have a question, I'll take it now. Yes. Talk up, please. That's deep. That's a deep idea, but I don't accept it. It's better if you just don't mention it. Yes. Absolutely. Correct. Right.
So, but
it says in the Torah, "V'shem Elohim Acherim Lo Yishama Al Picha." You're not allowed to mention the specific name of other gods. You may say Elohim Acherim in general, as you correctly said, you may not bow to Elohim Acherim, but Lo Yishama Al Picha, you may not even mention it. I must tell you that we have to drive a difficult balance in our relationship with the Christian religion. Rav Moshe alludes to it in the tshuva that we didn't quite see the end of, which is, we didn't see it at all, number 6. This is my last source, number 6. And then I'll just have some closing remarks. You have a question? Yes? Speak loud. It's a long time, 200 years. It's a long time. Okay. The second question was that the Christmas tree is only 200 years old. So what? It's still not allowed. I'm not sure if it's even true. But the first question is much more pertinent. What about Islam? Islam, writes the Rambam, is not Avodah Zarah. They believe in one God, Allah, which is Elohim. That's all they believe in. They believe in Muhammad, who was called by some as the Meshuggah. That's what the Rambam used to refer to him as. They don't believe he's a god, he's a prophet. So Islam is technically not Avodah Zarah. Nonetheless, Rabbi Avadya writes, Chas v'sholem to walk into a mosque, even if it's not Avodah Zarah proper. That's his truth. I don't have time to go into that right now. But this, we're focused on this season, not Ramadan. Okay, number 6. Look at this now. It's so important, number 6. Os Israel lahaniach atalmidim chavshem milimudam bidmei edem. You write to Rabbi Uri. It's a tshuva of 40 years ago plus, 41 years ago in Kislev. But Vashay Sharotzim Shianichu Atamidim Chavshi, free from school. Behayama me Chavav December, Al Acha Roshe Shana Hachadosha Shalahem, Shubayama Shal Chageim, Shagamba Bote Seba Shalam Medina Nosim Chofish. So the people are saying, to give up this time, the 25th Chas V'Shalom. We'll start the 26th. And the logic is pretty simple. Everyone wants to go away for a vacation. People are off from work. Says Rav Moshe, Poshet Uboru She'ein Lassos Kein. Afshe Kavanosim U'shelo L'smoch B'chageim Chalila. Elim Shem Sha'avo Sein B'telim Y'malachtem Rotzim Nisa L'ezim Mekomos Yachlem B'neim. Al-Koponim U'maisa Iser V'ein HaKavonim Mesaleka Se Iser. Even if you have good intentions, it's still prohibited. V'lom Sagi B'mashe B'yom Chafei December Shul Chag Mamish Yilmedu. V'rak Acha Yom Re'yishon Yanuchim. Still not allowed. It's mechura be'etzel lasi mechuv shel biyomim shechogim avodah zara shalahem. And now look at this now. If it would have been a non-threatening avodah zara that never troubled us, it would be bad enough. Look how he ends. And Rav Moshe knew what he was talking. He lived in Europe. This Christianity, asher tzeru umeru korav l'alpayim shana es am Yisrael. Let's talk English. They killed us almost 2,000 years. They burned us at the stake. And their Holocaust record was not good at all. For those who want, I'm not going into that right now. They were involved in killing us for almost 2,000 years. And then he adds poignantly, "Vadayin yodam netuya." They're still, their arm is outstretched, even the post-ecumenical era of 1967 or 66 to hurt us. Lachein chas v'shalom ilasoseh. Many schools have adhered to this psak. When I was growing up, half the schools were off December 25th to January 1st. A much smaller percentage now, either because of Rav Moshe's tshuva or they've come to their senses. And even though they give later breaks, so end of January, whenever they give it, which is in the corner of this tshuva. Yes?
There are many people who don't learn on
this 25th. Ah, Nitl Nacht. There are those who don't learn Torah the night of the late December 24th. I'm going to give a public statement now. You can quote me on. Anyone who's afraid of the Avera, of learning Torah on the night of December 24th, please learn, I'll take the vera on myself. You give me the mitzvah too, though. I want both. Where it comes from, it probably comes from the following. They used to learn in Beis Medrash. They didn't learn. The houses were very small. It was dangerous to walk the streets that night. So they made an Easter to learn, and this way everyone would stay home, and they used to cut their toilet paper for the whole year that night. That's what they used to do. Someone is saying they shouldn't learn because it's a schus for Yoshka. That's very hard to believe. That's hard to believe. Anyway. So we today are on a balancing act. I must tell you that when I grew up in my parents' home, and my mother, Aleha Shalom, grew up in Poland, and she knew what the Christians were like in Poland, they were not our friends. They were nor were the Christian leaders our friends. They were extraordinary. They were more anti-Semitic than the Germans in those days. It was Christian. It was really deep religious anti-Semitism. And in Europe, the tradition was, when they passed by the church, they said a certain pasuk. And I taught this pasuk to my children. I taught them first Shema Yisrael, Torah Tziva. But one of the first pasuk they knew, and they know it by heart, so every child of mine knows it by heart. And the pasuk goes like this. Shachet t'shaktenu v'sa'ev t'sa'avenu ki cherem hu. When you pass by a church, you're supposed to say those words. Just to reinforce, it's not our religion. We live in a world, everything goes, everything's assimilated. No! No, absolutely not. And I told my children that in Europe, when they pass by, they would do something else. They would spit. And I told them, don't spit here in America. One of my children didn't listen to me. He would always go, I woke up and go, spit. Oh, no. Hope no one is watching. So, you know what I'm saying? So, but we are a minority religion, threatened, certainly in the past, physically, by the majority of Christianity. And even today, our identity is threatened, this unprecedented assimilation. And that's what we are opposed to ecumenicism. If you want to have something to read for this time of the year, I'll give you a reading material. Read my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik's article called Confrontation from 1964. Just read through it. That's when they wanted to be friends with us, ecumenicism. He said, we have no theological dialogue. At the same time, as we saw before, we're supposed to avoid Eva. To avoid hatred, to avoid confrontation. My Rebbe, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, said we have to weigh how to be friendly and polite, against how to be, you know, involved in social action with them. Rav Aaron's lashon was, we are pro-friendship and anti-fellowship. Think about that. Friendship means we have a responsibility. The Mishnah tells us to take care of the needs of the non-Jews, if they're poor, to help them, if they're dead, to bury them, if they're sick, to visit them. That's 100% Neidakei Shalom. But to eat and drink with them, that's not allowed. That's why we are prohibited to drink their wine and to eat their cooked foods, etc. So friendship, yes. Fellowship, no. It's not exactly clear where to draw the line. And I conclude, because I only have a half a minute left. Yes? Don't take my whole half a minute. Okay, so let me... Okay, you have to give me an extension, though. No, I don't have to tell them that. I'm not ashamed. However, I don't tell them. There's no reason to antagonize them. But let me explain to you. You talk about holiday parties in the office. It may still be relevant to tomorrow. The most parties are... Who still has a holiday party tomorrow or the next coming week? It's already passed, most of them, right? So for next year, try your best to avoid these parties completely. Completely. If you feel you absolutely must make an appearance, Mishum Eva, it's legitimate, don't eat or drink anything. You walk in there, you smile, happy holiday, happy New Year, happy Hanukkah, not Merry Christmas, and try to say as little as possible, to be as little as possible, and eat nothing. Yes. I would say Happy New Year. I say Happy New Year on December 10th on Hanukkah. It's Happy New Year. If you must say Happy Holiday, have in mind Hanukkah. That's the right. So those Happy Holiday, Happy New Year are okay. Beyond that is a problem. Those two, if you have to, it's okay. Yes. Move to Israel. Great. I'm in favor. Yes. Oh. It's hard to translate precisely. Who wants to help me with the translation of shaket to shaktenu? Shaket means probably to despise, detest, and despise the Christian or the pagan, actually the pagan rites. Kicherimu, it's considered separate from us. It's not our religion. But you have to have a distance. You know, there'll be time for tolerance later on in life. Children are young and impressionable. You have to explain that this is not our way. But don't be antagonistic. I told him I should not spit. In Europe, I don't know how they did it. Yes. We try to avoid hostility whenever possible. You have to draw a balance, though. You have to draw a balance. I want to end with the following Rambam, which is also censored. I'll end with this. The Rambam writes incredibly that God in heaven ordained that there should be Islam and Christianity as a preparation for Mashiach. Before these religions, the non-Jews were pagans. And if they were pagans, they'd have no clue how to react when the real Mashiach comes. Therefore, God arranged that they should have this Christianity with this Islam, which talks about certain kinds of the false Messiah. So when the true Messiah comes, they'll know what it means. May he come b'mehirah v'yameinu. Amen.